Okay, brethren, on the first day of the feast, in part one of our study into this boundaries subject, we saw the need to maintain care and control over our own lives. And in my conclusion of part one, I asked you the question, what does this, all this boundary stuff, have to do with the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day? What does that have to do with it? And today in part two, God's word will give us the answer to this question. And we now will part company with the boundaries book, okay, in order to examine one area where we need to give up control. We need to give up control. We're going to talk first of all about the God family boundaries. The God family boundaries. Let's turn over to the Gospel of John. We're going to spend most of our time in the Gospel of John. So let's go to John and start off in John chapter 16, please. John chapter 16. Just one verse out of John 16, verse 32. So, in John's Gospel account, the human Jesus over and over again quite frequently declared that he enjoyed perfect unity, 100% unity with his Father. And as Jesus in John 16, as he drew close to the end of his human sojourn, he clearly was able to see the oneness with his Father. John chapter 16 and verse 32. Behold, the hour comes, yes now, it is now come, that you, disciples, shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. God the Father was with Jesus. No Trinity. They were just, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit, they didn't, you know, they had, they had 100% of the Holy Spirit in them, of course. No Trinity, though. There were just two full members of the God family at that time. And they had solid boundaries placed firmly around them. We're going to see that. Just Jesus and his Father in perfect unity. Earlier, please go back to chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 16. John chapter 8 verse 16. We see that Jesus had made another similarly worded statement. John chapter 8 verse 16. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. Well, Jesus was with his Father, and the Father certainly was with Jesus. So, if you've got your pens and papers again, when I read this, I visualize a boundary circle with both God the Father in it and Jesus in it, with a boundary circle around them. Again, at that time, these two supreme eternal spirit beings comprised the complete God family. Let's go all the way back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 18. John chapter 1 and verse 18. Jesus speaking again. No man has seen God. No. God the Father, of course. No man has seen God the Father at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. So the human Jesus was in the bosom of his heavenly Father. So here we might mentally and respectfully picture God the Father with a boundary circle in his chest, with Jesus inside that circle. And let me just make this clear now. You know, if these word pictures seem a little bit over the top to you, well, I'm sorry, but they're not my word pictures. They're Jesus's, okay? They're Jesus's words. And also these visualizations that I'm talking about here are very abstract, so we don't have to worry about breaking God's second commandments. We're not trying to envisage what God the Father actually looks like. Let's go over to chapter 10, still in John, over to chapter 10. All the way down to verse 30. John chapter 10 and verse 30. Once again, Jesus says the same thing. I and my Father are one. I jump down to verse 37. John chapter 10, verse 37. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. And then all the way down to verse 38. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Okay, we can visualize two images here. Number one, Jesus with his Father in him. Number two, God the Father with Jesus in him. Okay, and so we're starting to see now how exceptionally diverse the Father and Jesus really are. How remarkably dynamic. Dynamic in ways that we physical human beings, we can't comprehend. We haven't got a clue how this works. So their boundary circles can change and can move back and forth as they deem necessary. If as Jesus was trying to get a point across, a various point, he will change his boundary circles, his description of the boundary circles. And this same amazing double or twin boundary circle reappears in chapter 14. Let's go over to John chapter 14. And verse 10. John chapter 14, verse 10. Believe you not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. So Jesus repeats this fact here, probably for emphasis, so it must be very important for us to note and to remember. But then, as we continue on here, in this chapter, with Jesus' words, still in John 14, we come to a huge change. Verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. The word means orphans. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will come to you. Now Jesus was talking, of course, to his first disciples, but by extension he's also talking to us here. Verse 19. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. You will see me. Because I live, you will live also. Verse 20. And at that day, you shall know that I am in my Father. I am in my Father. Okay, got a boundary circle coming up here. But now here comes a huge change. And it's actually an expansion on what Jesus had told us previously. Still in verse 20, and you in me, and I in you. Let's read the whole verse there. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So here's the picture we get here now. Number one, Jesus is in his Father. Number two, Jesus' disciples and us, members of his true church, are in him, in Jesus. And number three, Jesus is in us. Try and get our minds around this. This is a difficult diagram if we want to try drawing it on our paper. Boundary circle number one is the outer circle represents, according to what Jesus says here, the outer circle represents God the Father. Boundary circle number two represents Jesus and is inside boundary circle number one. Boundary circle number three represents Jesus' disciples and all the members of God's true church inside the boundary circle number two. But then, according to what Jesus just said there, Jesus appears again inside boundary circle number three. Well, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing. Of course, is it impossible physically? Yes, it's impossible. With God, no, it's not impossible. So, what we're reading here, and it's so significant to us on this last great day, Jesus seems to be giving us an advanced glimpse into eternity. Into eternity. And into the humanly incomprehensible dynamic nature of himself, Jesus, and his Father. But Jesus is also telling us here that by allowing us to come into his circle, what he's saying then is that he and his Father have built gates, kind of gates, into their boundary walls. Obviously, carefully guarded and controlled gates, of course. And he's also telling us here that he and his Father are very willing and desirous to welcome certain people, people of their choosing, of course, and their calling, through their gates and into their boundary circle and onto their property, and even into their family, But there's even more to this. As we continue, still in John chapter 14, this gets even more astounding. Verse 23. John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, he was talking to Jude at this time, Jude, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Now that's important, that's going to come up again. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. So we read earlier about Jesus saying that his Father was with him and that he was with the Father. And here we read that the Father and Jesus will also be with us. That they'll come to us and will make their abode with us. So now let's picture a boundary circle containing a Christian, true Christian, within the abode of the Father and Jesus. How can this be? How can this ever come to pass? How can any human being be allowed to enter within the God family boundaries? How can any human being share God's abode, the God family abode, with them? What makes it possible? Jesus gives us the answer in this very same verse. Love is the key. Love changes everything. Literally, our love for Jesus and his Father too, of course, coupled with obedience, the keeping of Jesus' words, as Jesus put it there, but not just our love for them, but also their love for us. So it's reciprocal love between the two primary, presently existing members of the God family and their chosen ones. So love is the catalyst that pulls it all together and makes it possible. Jesus says that if a person will love him, Jesus, and keep his words, his Father will love that person. But also that Jesus and his Father will come to that person and will share their home, their abode with him or her. What a promise. What a fantastic promise. So now Jesus expands on this in the following chapter 15. Turn over to chapter 15. And he talks here about us following his example, Jesus' example of keeping his commandments and continuing in and abiding in his love. John chapter 15 verse 9. John chapter 15 verse 9. As the Father has loved me, and you know, think about it, you know, how much, very, very much, God the Father loves Jesus, and certainly did at that time, so have I loved you. Okay, let's read that again. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Imagine the magnitude of that love. It's just beyond human understanding. Jesus says, continue in my love. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So what do we see here? Here we see the Christian pictured as abiding in Jesus' love, and Jesus picturing himself as abiding in his Father's love. So our visualization is now expanded, showing that to be in Jesus and his Father is to be in their love, to be continuing in and abiding in their love, which means making our abode in their love, making our home in their love, actually sharing their abode, sharing their home. And so Jesus passes on the perfect love that he receives from his Father, and he passes that on to his brothers and sisters, you and me. And this brings us to the subtopic of the belongings and the possessions of Jesus and his Father. The belongings and the possessions of Jesus and his Father. So we move on here now into the next chapter, still in John. John chapter 16. But now we have, it's in a similar, certainly in a similar vein, but now with a newly added factor. John chapter 16 and verse 15. And again, this is about the belongings and the possessions of Jesus and his Father. John chapter 16, verse 15. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and show it, make it clear to you. So Jesus is what he's talking about. All the things that the Father has, all the things that the Father owns, his belongings and his possessions, which are jointly owned by Jesus. Now, let's think about our own physical, our belongings and our possessions, the things that are ours. We normally keep those things on our property, right? In our homes. We keep them in our homes or on our land if we have land. In other words, within the boundaries of our property. Okay? And we give or we share access to our belongings with others as we see fit. We have the right to do that. So it is with the God family. So Jesus is telling us here that all that belongs to his Father, everything is his too, Jesus's too, because his Father shares these things with him. But Jesus is also telling us that his Father will reveal all of what belongs to Jesus to and himself to us. So what he's saying, okay, that he's going to let certain people in on their precious secrets, secrets that no others can share. Not yet, anyway. They will in the future. So as well as Jesus and the Father sharing everything between themselves, they also want to share everything with those who faithfully love them and obey them. See, that obedience to the commandments is in there too. So we got there's love and there's obedience. So don't ever let anybody tell you that obedience is not required. It certainly is. Okay, not only do we love them and obey them, we desire to abide with them. We have a desire to be in them, in their abode, and we have a great desire to become additional members of their household and family. And they have that desire too. They have a greater desire than we do to have us on their property, in their abode, in their family. So let's go over to the next verse, the next chapter rather, chapter 17, John chapter 17. And this is the true Lord's Prayer. This is one of the true Lord's Prayers. And here we find lots more ownership, giving and sharing, giving and sharing of the possessions of Jesus and his Father, sharing with each other, but sharing with their newly expanded family. So here we continue reading Jesus' words about ownership. Ownership about the Father sharing his possessions with Jesus, and about Jesus sharing his possessions with us, his brothers and sisters. So let's quickly skim through some of the most relevant verses here, and I'm going to accent the words that imply ownership. Okay, John chapter 17, beginning verse 1. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son. Jesus was the Son of the Father, that your Son also may glorify you, as you, Father, have given him, that's me, Jesus, right, that you have given him power over all flesh. Why? Why is he given him the power over all flesh? That he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Verse 4. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. There's that giving again. And now, O Father, glorify you me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was, which I possessed with you before the world was. Verse 6. I have manifested your name, unto the men which you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me. You know, God the Father is the one who does the calling, and God the Father gave us to Jesus. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now, they have known that all things whatsoever you have given me are of you, okay? Of you, belonging to you, came from you. For I have given unto them the words which you gave me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from you, and they have believed that you did send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but them which you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine. See the repetitive belonging there, the ownership. And I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your own name those that you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. those that you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to you. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. They are not owned by the world, even as I, Jesus, am not owned by the world. Jump down to verse 17. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Jump down to verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Why? That they may be one, even as we are one. Verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. Why? For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Verse 26. And I have declared unto them, Jesus has given them the knowledge of your name. I have given them the knowledge of your name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Love changes everything. Read that verse 26 again. I have declared unto them your name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. So all this is the giving, the receiving, the ownership, the sharing, and the keeping of the possessions of God the Father and our elder brother Jesus. So what are these possessions? I went through and outlined them. Jesus lists them throughout this prayer. These are God's possessions: power, eternal life, God's work, glory, knowledge, truth, God's name, joy, love, and even Jesus himself. All of those things. Now, still in John 17, I'm going to do a little bit of repetition here. Let's back up to verse 11. And let's just see again how very desirous, super desirous, Jesus and his Father are to bring us within their boundaries into the unity of their family and to share all of these wonderful things that I just listed. I want to share them with us. Verse 11. Yeah. So back up to verse 11. Holy Father, keep through your name, the name of the God family, ultimately including all of the members of their church, those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Visualization time again. Jesus represents himself here as the outer boundary circle, right? And it says that the Father is in Jesus. But then it says that Jesus is in his Father. Not my words, Jesus' words. And then it says that God's people are to be unified together and to be in the Father and in Jesus. Makes your head spin. Continuing, verse 22. So we just had a bunch of circles there with Jesus, the Father, Jesus again, and the Church of God basically in the middle. Now, verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Why? That they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me. So we've got a bit of a change here. Here, God's chosen people, are the outer circle. Jesus is in us and the Father is in him. So here within the space of two short verses, the order of who is in who is all turned around. And what this shows is the amazing, astonishing dynamism of the God family. One day we'll understand it. One day we'll have the mind of God, and we'll understand all of this. And it is not, let me repeat that, it is not some kind of pop psychology. This is what we might call, this is Jesus talking to his Father directly. This is God language. This is God language. These are the power-charged words of Jesus communicating directly with his Heavenly Father. Verse 23. That they may be, or the second half of verse 23, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Let me repeat that. Okay. And have loved them, God the Father, loved them as you have loved me. And here again we see that essential ingredient, the love of God. Love changes everything. And what love? What love? So earlier, back in chapter 15, we read that Jesus had told his disciples that he, Jesus, loved them as much as his Father loved him. Now, Jesus is declaring that despite our many imperfections, his perfect Father loves us, loves his repentant sons and daughters, just as he loves Jesus himself. And that is huge. That is absolutely unbelievably, well, it's not unbelievable because Jesus said so. That is absolutely huge. Okay, chapter 17, and we repeat verse 24. Verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. So here now, Jesus is in effect asking his Father to open the gates to us. To open the gates in the wall, the boundary wall. The boundary wall that is around the God family's property. Why? Why? In order to admit the beloved people that Jesus' Father has given him, and to allow us to enter within their boundaries, for us to enter onto their property, onto the God family property. Why? Again, why? So that we can all abide together within God's abode in perfect, loving, God family unity. And this is the very ultimate expression of what the Feast of Tabernacles, and especially, more especially, the Last Great Day are all about. Now, okay, so perhaps there are two stages, maybe there's even more, but I'm thinking that there are two major stages of God's chosen people passing through the gates in God's boundary walls and entering onto his property. Now, think about it. Whenever we go onto another person's property, when we pass through his or her gates of their apartment or their house and pass within his or her home's boundaries, we become subject to the owner's house rules, don't we? Or we should do anyway, you know. I mean, do you want me to take my shoes off? You know, if you know that they're averse to strong perfume, you don't do that. Those kind of things. And so it is with the God family. So we went through the God family's stage one gate at the time of our conversion and baptism, when we first answered our Father's call and when we accepted his loving and merciful invitation. And at that time, we went through their stage one gate and we began to pass within their boundaries and onto their spiritual property. At that time, we lost control over our own house rules. We lost control over our lives. We lost control over our own wills. Now hopefully, we didn't actually lose that control. Hopefully, we gave it up voluntarily. We gave up control of our lives to Jesus and his Father according to their house rules as laid out in their holy written word. But Jesus, at that time, he didn't want the Father to take us out of our physical bodies, and so far he still hasn't asked for that. Not yet, anyway, so not in stage one. Let's just back up to verse 15, still in John 17. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. But eventually, when we come at last, we come to the stage two gate. At that time, at the time of the first resurrection, we will gladly give up our humanity and we'll pass from our present physical properties, our physical houses and bodies, onto and into our new spiritual properties, houses and bodies. We're going to leave John behind at last now. We're going to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now he's not saying, we know he's not saying that we're going to go to heaven immediately when we die. We know that. And these heavenly houses that he's talking about here are the same as the well-known many mansions and places that Jesus spoke of in back in John 14. Still in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life, eternal life, of course. Now he that has wrought, he that has fashioned or shaped us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, the physical body, we are absent from the Lord. So, now, we know the Apostle Paul is mixing his metaphors here, you know. He's got clothes and tabernacles and houses and homes. And that's okay because he's inspired by God, so we're not going to criticize that. But through Paul, Jesus and his Father are telling us here that our own humanity does cause something of a barrier between us and them, between us and Jesus and God the Father. And it's a barrier which prevents a 100% total complete relationship with them. But that barrier is acceptable. It's temporarily acceptable anyway, because it was Jesus and his Father, they were the ones who made us human and physical in the first place. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, we may not think so right now, you know, but ultimately, absence from our human bodies in favor of being present with the Lord, we're going to understand eventually that that is the far better option. We may not think so now, but wait until we get there. Wait until we see what he's got waiting for us. Okay, brethren, let's summarize going back to the first holy day. We saw that in our relationships with our human families, our friends and our neighbors and our church brethren, it is right and it is good for us to maintain solid boundaries. But as long as we're chained to these physical buildings of our mortal bodies, we must build gates into our personal fences, walls and boundaries, and we must freely and gladly open these gates in order to admit Jesus and his Father. We need to do that. Now, conversely, we need to be thankful. We need to thankfully accept their invitation for us to enter through their gates and to pass within their boundaries and onto their property and into their abode. Let's go back to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, just a couple of individual relevant verses from the Psalms here. Psalm 100 and verse 4. Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. And just over to another one there, Psalm 118, Psalm 118. Psalm 118 and verse 19. Psalm 118, verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them and I will praise the Lord. So brethren, let's be yearning for the day when Jesus comes back to repossess his property here on earth and to set up the fullness of his kingdom in preparation for the day when his gates can and will be lifted up. Imagine like the portcullis of some ancient castle. His gates will be lifted up and all the boundaries can be taken down. All the boundaries will be taken down on the fulfillment of this last great day and on the wonderful day of the arrival of God the Father. Please, it's still in Psalms. Please turn to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. And verse 7. Psalm 24, verse 7. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be you lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, even lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory.